Hi, my name is Lulu Sullivan. I'm 16 years old and I lost my father 3 years ago, so I know a lot more about grief than most of my peers. However, with the crisis of COVID-19 impacting all, many more teenagers are experiencing grief, some over loss of life and others over loss of life as we know it. As teens around the world feel this collective grief, my goal is to provide them with resources to cope and to express themselves. This is Teen Grief Coronavirus. Today I'm speaking with Dr. Jared Spencer, who is a sports psychologist, speaker, consultant, and author. He is passionate about improving the emotional health of athletes and business leaders. Dr. Spencer serves as the sports psychologist for numerous professional and collegiate athletes and teams, and frequently travels across the country speaking about how a clearer mind leads to better performance. He's been featured in USA Today, New York Daily News, and ESPN Radio. Dr. Spencer, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
It's truly a privilege and a pleasure for me to be with you. Thanks so much for having me.
My first question for you is, what are the effects of the pandemic on high school athletes, both emotionally and in terms of their athletic careers?
Well, the best part about the pandemic for athletes is that pre-pandemic, when asked, how do you feel? Most athletes would have said, tired. Most people in general would have said, tired. And when asked how many hours of sleep they got, most people would say about 6 to 6.5 hours of sleep, which is nowhere near the 8, 8.5 ideally that people will be getting. So the best part about the pandemic is that when you ask people now, do they feel rested? They say, absolutely. I'm getting plenty of sleep. I have plenty of downtime, plenty of rest. So one of the best parts about the pandemic on the mental health of athletes is really that people are feeling more emotionally recharged and they're feeling more rested. Now, of course, when the opportunity presents itself for people to actually translate that into competition, I think what we're going to see is people be surprised at how they perform so much better having been so much more rested.
That's so interesting. You would have thought it would be the opposite since people are not getting to practice as much.
Yeah, well, legs and lungs always take a little bit of time to get back into like conditioning. But once the legs and lungs come, I really think the psychological benefit from the break will really translate over to better performance. You know, here's the underlying reason why this is. Today's athletes have really come through a system where they've been overscheduled. Mm-hmm. They've been overtraining and not getting enough rest and recovery to meet the output of what they were doing academically and athletically. And so because there's an entire generation of athletes today that are really depleted emotionally, overextended schedule-wise, with no off-season anymore, this pandemic has actually been a pleasant surprise and quite frankly a blessing to many of them in terms of bringing balance into their lives.
Definitely. And I know some people are worried about recruitment. Do you have any idea of how that will be affected?
It's going to be quite significant, actually, and in not such a good way. Yeah. A lot of my friends and colleagues that are college coaches are concerned, because what if there is no upcoming season this fall, winter or spring, and how are they going to know how to take a chance, how to offer a scholarship, or how to invite somebody onto their team if they really didn't get a chance to properly evaluate the junior year or the senior year of competition. So nobody really knows how this is going to get played out at this point in time, because the windows for recruiting that the NCAA will open up and say, now you can actually go out and recruit during this time frame, those are not clear yet. So we don't know what's going to be permitted. And then we don't even know what states are actually going to be actively having kids play, particularly because of, obviously we're recording this in mid-June, and there's a lot of optimism that things are going to open up, but there's also some evidence that there's some resurging going on too. So we don't know how it's going to impact recruiting.
But do you think that there will be some kind of different way that they're going to do it? Maybe sending in more videos or something so that people do get a shot.
Yeah. I mean, certainly if there's any videos from, like, for example, if you're a high school rising junior, mm-hmm. football player and you don't have a junior season, then they're going to look at your sophomore video, either when you play JV or maybe played a little bit. Of course, height and weight and speed, all that strength factors a lot in the sport of football. So those are variables that people have to take into account. But now more than ever, what I would tell an athlete is this: focus on your academics, focus on your character. A lot of coaches don't want to take a risk on somebody. So if your academics are solid, if your character is solid, if you're doing some good community service work, however that may look, the more good things you can put on your resume, the more they'll have less concern if they have to take a little bit of risk on you athletically, if your character and your academics are not a concern.
That makes a lot of sense. So I know a lot of my friends also are dealing with the loss of their sports. They're upset because they love playing their sport. So how can athletes mitigate any of those emotional negative effects and maintain their mental health right now?
I can't believe this happened. I can't believe I lost my season. A denial. This isn't really the way it's going to be. And then there's an anger phase, which is next. And anger really means emotional hurt. And so what we are seeing across America right now in June is that people are hurting emotionally very badly and for lots of different reasons. But the pandemic has impacted families. Certainly there's been loss and there's been economic hardship and there's been strife. And of course, racism is really the topic right now that has brought so many people into the streets to protest. And it's been really beautiful, quite frankly, some of the beautiful protests and some of the inroads for equality that have been made. But when we think about the stages of loss, which then include like bargaining and some acceptance and such, what we're seeing for athletes is they have to understand that it's okay to be mourning the loss and to experience the anger, the emotional hurt about not having their season or maybe not having the opportunity to fulfill their dreams of maybe being the captain of the field hockey team in the fall if we don't have that opportunity. And so there's a lot of validation, I think, that occurs first. That's a big part of this. So the other aspect is that, look, athletes are going to decide not to play their sport anymore because they realize that, the intrinsic drive is just not there. The external extrinsic drive is what, worked for them, like hanging out with their friends and lifting together, running together, but they don't have that same intrinsic drive. So they may decide to retire from their sport, which is okay. And so that's one way that people are going to change. But when it comes to the specific question of like, what could they do if they really want this sport and they really want this to do well this season, but they don't know if it's going to happen, I think that we have to go to the love of the game. Like, why do you love your sport? And we got to cultivate that love. We got to write that down. We've got to like put pictures of that around, because every day it's just you and, your backyard, for example, and you can train all you want or as little as you want, but that's going to come from a place deep inside of you. And that intrinsic motivation is going to be very, very important to cultivate at this point in time. If an athlete in high school in particular is going to be able to continue on to the next level.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Because I play tennis and I know it's been really hard for me to have that motivation. But I also know that a lot of my friends are going out and practicing on their own. So it's good to know the distinction. My next question is, what do you see the future of sports looking like? We already touched on this a little bit with recruitment. And what advice do you have for athletes in the face of that?
My answer to this question may not be the popular one, but I'll just tell you what I see.
Okay.
I think sports have been overemphasized in America for a long time, in particular the youth, high school, club sports world. There's been an overemphasis. It's out of bounds. And we've long known it for some time, and there it was time for reform in sports. So I think what we're going to see moving forward is the potential for a lot of people to drop out of sports, which I actually think is healthy and good. I think that there's real opportunity for us to get youth sports regulated, where there's finally some oversight. But if you stop and think about it, youth sports is the last place in America where anybody could be a coach and say what they want to say and do what they want to do without a whole lot of like oversight. Now in junior high, high school, you're gonna have an athletic director you're accountable to, but in youth, it's not quite like that. So we see a lot of emotional abuse, emotional hurt occurring at the youth level. So that's another significant aspect that I think hopefully might change. But the biggest change that we may see in sports, if this pandemic goes, lasts 12 months or maybe even 18 months, and that's not unrealistic, right? I mean, hate to be pessimistic, but there might be no 2021 academic year or athletic season. And if that were to be the case, we may see high schools change and no longer have athletic departments. High school athletic departments lose money every year. And what they may do is go to a club model. So each town would have a club tennis team, a club soccer team, a club volleyball team. And those clubs would now rent out the high school facilities. So now the school district, which is going to be needing money if this thing goes 12 to 18 months, and they're going to be hurting financially, they now turn their entire athletic department into something that's revenue producing, money producing, mm-hmm. as opposed to losing a lot of money. Because now they're going to rent out their soccer field and their field hockey field and their volleyball courts. And now they're going to make a lot of money back to the school district. So it's very possible that high school sports as we know it could significantly change to a pay-to-play model with clubs, and it enables high schools to balance the budget for their overall school district. So at worst, that could be what it looks like in the future.
That's definitely a big change, but it's also good to know that for those students who want to keep playing their sports, it sounds like there will be options for them to do so when we go back to school, so that's really encouraging. But would that make it harder for athletes to stand out, I guess, if everybody was kind of working on the same system?
Yeah, it's going to be a lot harder for athletes to stand out. But at the same time, you're going to have a big attrition, a big drop of people from sports after sitting out for a whole year. They may just not want to continue. So that may be one aspect. But as we talked about again, like, well, who's going to regulate that? You know, who's going to be in charge of the clubs? Who's going to say what you can and can't do and how much practice time you can have and can't have? So that would open up a whole new can of worms if, for example, we're in Pennsylvania, so the PIAA provides the oversight, but who would provide the oversight if it wasn't that? Mm-hmm. And would it be the PIAA, and what does that look like? So sports in America, Lulu, could really change significantly if this pandemic goes 12 to 18 months, and it could be a game changer for all of sports as we know it in America.
Wow. What you said earlier about focusing on academics and character is really good advice then, because it's not worrying about what you can't control, but instead focusing on what you can control, because these students can control what happens with the pandemic or what happens with sports. They can instead control other aspects of their resume to make them as appealing to schools as possible, whether they're able to continue their sport or not. That's great. My final question for you is just, what's the most important thing that you want athletes right now to be thinking about in terms of their mental health?
Yeah, great question. And the answer is hobbies.
Okay.
Every person needs an outlet to let out tension, to let out stress. It's very healthy. It's very appropriate. But pre-pandemic, if you ask most athletes, you know, what's your hobby? What do you like to do for fun that has nothing to do with achievement or sports or academics? Most people would say, I don't really have any hobbies, or my hobby is Netflix or PlayStation. And my answer to that is, a hobby is not going to involve an electronic in that kind of way. So like something you do for fun and just for pure enjoyment. And most people, not just athletes, would have said, like, I don't have any, or I don't do it very often. And that's the biggest thing from this pandemic I want people to walk away with, is understand that we are all re-engaging with hobbies such as reading books or riding bikes or going kayaking or fishing or making dinners together whatever it may be. In addition, they should be cultivating that with parents, with siblings. Like, what do you like to do with a sibling, right? Like, mm-hmm. what's your hobby that draws you together? And we want to cultivate that and develop that. So when we come out of the pandemic, and we get back to like the busyness of life, we would still have more outlets to let out tension, right? So just a play on words there, but it's really too, you got to let out the tension. And that's the best part about the pandemic, is that it's given us the opportunity to reconnect with hobbies and outlets. So we need to carry them forward and integrate them to our life post-pandemic.
That's great. Dr. Spencer, thank you so much for your time and your insight. This is Lulu Sullivan, and thank you for listening to Teen Grief Coronavirus.